since it's New Year's, we just had a New Year. We're into 2004 already. And a lot of people, first part of the year, a lot of people have what they call a New Year's resolution. And that consists of promises or goals or changes they want to do in their lives, okay? And if you'd ask a lot of people what their goals, what their New Year resolution is, a lot of them would say, I want to diet. I want to lose some weight. I got to get this weight off this year. Another one would be, man, I got to stop smoking. I've been smoking all these years. My family wants me to quit. My wife wants me to quit. Kids want me to quit. It's not good. It's a bad habit. And then there's others been out drinking. They say, man, I got to stop doing this. I've already been caught a couple times, DUI. I think it's time I better stop or I'm going to be in some big trouble. And then there's other people, got to exercise more. Just got to get in shape, got to get stronger. Then there's others that say, man, oh man, I got to learn to manage my money. I never have any money left. I can't ever buy anything. It's gone before I get it. I'm head over heels in debt. And then there's other people, they want to spend more time with their family. They want to spend more time with their friends. Then there's people that they want to get a new job. They're tired of the old job. They're going to look for a new one. Then there's others out there say, well, I better get a job. I haven't had a job for ages. So this year I'm getting a job. Then another one, I got to be nicer to people. I got to be more patient this year. So that's about 8 different things here I just listed that a person may have as a New Year's resolution. But tonight, what I want to talk about is New Year's resolution for a Christian. Goals for a Christian maybe this year that you want to set. These are goals every Christian should have every year. One goal as a Christian, it should be, I want to get closer to God this year. I want to be more caring. I want to be more loving. I want to be more faithful in church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, to not forsake the assembling together as ourselves as believers. That means we need to get involved in our local church and be there. Be faithful. And you'll grow. It'll be a blessing. You get to know the Word of God more. And you know, if you know the Word of God more, here's what the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp and a light. Let's say it's pitch dark out and you're in a woods. And you got to run through the woods to the other side. Now, would you like to have a flashlight with you? Or would you want to run as fast as you could through the woods in the pitch blackness? I think all of us would say, yeah, we need a light. You may jab your eye out with a stick. You may fall over a stump, get in some muck, whatever. You're going to stumble and fall. But that's what the Word of God is. It says right here. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. We need that. And in the same book of Psalms 105 verse 11, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. What it's saying there is we need to take the Word of God and put it into our mind, into our hearts, that we may not sin against thee. When we're grounded in the Word, knowing the Word, we're less apt to do things that otherwise we would do, to keep us from doing some of those things. Sometimes the only time we pray is when we get in trouble. When do you pray? Is it when you need something? When you get out of trouble? Or do you pray the Lord continuously? What nice about the Lord, there's never a busy signal. You have a direct line right to the Creator of all of us. Isn't that awesome? right to the Creator. There's no middleman, no busy signal. Direct line. And a lot of times we don't use that direct line, only when we're in trouble. We may put the Word of God on the shelf and it gets dusty. And the only time we get it off the shelf is when we're in hot water. And then we make all sorts of promises. Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll go to church. I know we've all done that. I know I've done that. And I won't do that again, Lord, if you get me out of this mess. But you know, Christians shouldn't be doing that. We should be grounded in the Word, reading the Word daily, praying to the Lord, building stronger in our spiritual life. We need to be a better witness this year than we were last year. We need to be bolder, standing for Christ. Don't care what the other people think. We answer to one person or one being, our Creator. We don't have to answer to anybody else if we're living for Christ. And it says we need to be fishers of men. Being a fisher of men, that's putting the bait out. Years ago, a pastor gave this little illustration, and it stuck in my mind. When I first got saved, was a young Christian, I was out there. I was so pumped up, so excited. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus and how I got saved. And I'd hit them hard. And a pastor once gave a message. He says, a Christian shouldn't be a hunter. He needs to be a fisherman. A hunter goes out there with his shotgun and he just starts blasting. A fisherman puts the bait on the hook. And he throws the bait out. And he waits for the fish to come to the bait. And a Christian, we need to do that. Maybe there is a time we need to do a little blasting, but most of the time we turn people off doing that. Throw the bait out. We need to be Christ-like. Do people see Jesus in your life? Do people, if you're a Christian here tonight, do people know that you're a Christian before you have to tell them? You shouldn't have to tell them. They should be able to see the daily walk. And as a Christian, the Bible says we have treasures, we have gifts, we have talents of our own. We each have different abilities. The Lord's blessed us with certain gifts. And as a Christian, we need to use them. And one of our talents or treasures is our time. Are we using our time wisely, or are we wasting it all? Are we building that up for eternity, or are we just wasting it for earthly things? And our talents, we all have certain talents. And one of my talents is not singing. I know it's not. The Bible does say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But my talent is not that. I think one of my talents is doing what I'm doing now, telling people about Jesus. I believe that's one of them. The Lord gave me that burden to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm here tonight. I don't come here because I get paid for it or anything special. I come here because inside, the Lord just burdens me to come here. I've been coming here at least 13 years now. And I've never left this place but on cloud nine, blessed over and abundantly. And what I'm doing now, I love it. I like to deer hunt. And the Lord blessed me this year with two huge bucks with my bow and arrow. Big 12-point buck and a big, huge 8-point buck. The Lord blessed over abundantly. And shooting that big 12-pointer, that was a rush. But I'll tell you, right now, this is better. This is better. That old antlers of that big 12-point, it's just a hunk of bone. It's going to decay. That old carcass I'm going to hang on the wall someday, 30, 40 years from now. It may be at somebody's garage sale. It doesn't mean nothing. But telling you about Jesus Christ and somebody getting saved, wow, that's eternity. That's forever. The Bible says, don't lay up treasures on earth where moths and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moths or rust do corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. If your treasures is just here on this earthly things, if that's all your time and your talents and finances going towards these earthly things, that's all of where your treasure is going to be. But if your treasures is spiritual things, telling people about Jesus, living for Christ, you're building treasures in heaven where neither moths or rust do corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. That's a place to build them. I want to read in Matthew chapter 5. It talks about blessed, how people can be blessed. You want to be blessed? Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I always had problems with that verse. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit? What are we talking about? Well, have you ever seen a high-spirited stallion out in the wild? It's just running rampant, just hyper. And can't be fenced in, can't be trained. It's just wild. Well, that's a spirit just running wild, running rampant. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. I think a humble, poor-spirited, poor in spirit is somebody that can yield to the Savior, yield to the Lord, and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. My life is yours. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to yield to Jesus Christ. Yield our spirit to him, and he'll fill us with the Holy Spirit. Another one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, when you see somebody mourning, somebody crying, you see some big burly guy crying, that's a blessing to me. Because that man is a man that has a heart. He cares. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. It's not the one that's always crowding for first in line. Because the Bible also says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first someday. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be blessed. Are you hungering and thirsting after the Word of God? Are you growing in the Word? It says you'll be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children. There's some of the blessings from the Word of God. This day and age, people think the true blessing is being rich and famous. People that used to be rich and famous 15 years ago, you hardly hear some of them. Some of the singing groups, rock groups, movie stars, some of them you never hear of anymore. Back in my days, some of the groups that I heard was group named Bread, some gallery, another one, Looking Glass, Lighthouse, B.J. Thomas, Carole King, Jim Croce, Carpenters, The Who. You hardly hear a lot of that anymore. There's stars today out there that are having a lot of problems. I was at the Walmart the other day, and I just happened to see this. I usually don't buy these magazines, but this one here talked about some of our stars, some of the rich people we know, popular. Well, some of them are in hot water. You got Kobe Bryant. All his money isn't helping him right now. He's charged with rape. You got Robert Blake, charged with murder. You got Martha Stewart, charged with fraud. You got Michael Jackson, charged with child molestation. Those people aren't really that happy, I don't think, right now. Money didn't buy them happiness. There's an old saying I've heard, says, money can buy you everything but happiness, and pay your fare to anywhere but heaven. Look at this powerful man in Iraq, Saddam Hussein. Where is he right now? He sure isn't in his ivory palaces right now, is he? All that power and money and greed, he's paying the price now. But there's a bigger price later if he never accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's the ultimate price. That's the ultimate price. And you got in 1 Timothy. Let's see what the Bible says about riches a little bit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. You know, I see a lot of these television evangelists and preachers talking about to be a Christian, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be healthy and wealthy all the time. But that's not what my Bible says. It says right here, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can't carry anything out. And having food and clothing, let us be content. Now listen to this. But they that will be rich fall in temptations and a snare. What's a snare? That's a trap. They that fall into temptations and snares and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men to destruction. For the love of money. It didn't say money was evil, did it? It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. But here's what God says, but thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. That's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it says money can be a trap. Money can be a snare. And it can drown men into many hurtful lusts. And it says in Luke chapter 18, verse 25, it says, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. So, being a Christian, does that mean you're going to be rich and famous? No. It may mean the opposite. We may have some real trials and tribulations. Yeah, we need not lay up treasures on earth. And you can't give out, you can't outgive God. But it, like I said, it's easier for a rich man, or it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man get to heaven. But it also says, a verse later or so, it says, with God, all things are possible. If the man's heart is right, the Lord can use him. And that wealth could support a lot of missionaries and churches and needy people. We need to live for Christ. We need to stand for Christ as a Christian. It says in 1 Peter that we need always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us. Let me read it. It says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to always be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it says it's not easy to be a Christian. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Doesn't sound easy, does it? It doesn't sound easy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant." It means be alert, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking, looking to whom he may devour. Satan's out there all the time. He knows our weak points, and he'll hit us right there. So always have your armor on, armor of God. And in John chapter 15, it talks about a Christian. John chapter 15, verse 18. Here's what Jesus says about being a Christian. "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but you have chosen, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember that the word I said unto you, the servant, is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." They persecuted Jesus Christ. They nailed him on the cross. And he says, don't expect people to treat you any better for being a Christian, to be an ambassador for me. In Matthew chapter 16, here's what Jesus says about being a Christian. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Bless Jesus Christ says, "Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your electric chair and follow me." When we're truly living for Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, this is what's going to happen in the last days. There will be a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap themselves teachers having itchy ears. It means there are going to be churches out there that aren't preaching Jesus Christ. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto lies, unto fables. But watch all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready," this is Apostle Paul speaking, "for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteous judge shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Can you say you fought a good fight and have finished the race when it's about time of your death? You fought a good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ as a Christian, living for him? Someday everything will be perfect. And is he going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or is he going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? In Revelation 21, it talks about a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. And it talks about there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain. Old things are passed away. Revelation chapter 21 is what it is, 1 through 4. It's a great hope as a Christian to have that. Guard your testimony. That's another thing that a Christian needs to be aware of. What is your testimony? Your testimony is what people think of you. What do people think of you? If you're a Christian, your testimony is priceless. Priceless. Your testimony. If you're living like the devil, people aren't going to think much of you witnessing for Jesus Christ. You may spend all your life trying to build a testimony for Jesus Christ. One little mess up can ruin that testimony. There's a sign at work years ago they had on the wall that says it takes months to build a customer where we work, but only minutes to lose that customer. If you're not treating them right or you're sending them junk parts, they're going to go somewhere else. And it's kind of in the same way living a life for Jesus Christ. You'll spend your whole life trying to follow Christ and be that witness and be that light, but it only takes a few seconds to mess it all up totally. So guard it. If you're not living for Christ and your testimony doesn't mean anything now, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Start building it. It won't be an easy thing. Maybe there's people out there that don't trust you, but you can earn your trust back later. Be a light. Yeah, and there may be some that never will trust you, but you need to start now. The world knows how a true Christian should act. You don't have to tell them. And don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. You're turning more people away from Jesus Christ if you're not walking the walk. I see so much of that out there. Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. There's a lot of hypocrites that say they're Christians. You know, if I'm standing outside my yard, there's a lot to appearance when you're a Christian, being a witness. If I'm smoking a joint and have a beer in one hand, and I go up to this person and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. How many people are going to take you seriously? So if you're standing for Christ, it's an awesome responsibility. It's something you don't take lightly. And the Bible says, for much is given, much is required. Being a Christian isn't just playing games. We need to strengthen ourselves spiritually. Read the Word, pray, memorize the Word, pump up spiritually. Like a weightlifter pumps up physically to get stronger, eats the right foods. We as Christians need to pump up daily in the Word of God, pump up spiritually, eating the right food, the Word of God. Devour it, memorize it. It will make you strong spiritually. And the Lord can use you. The Lord will only use you as much as you want to be used. If you're not memorizing, you're not living for Him, you think He's going to use you much? I have a story I like to tell. I like to tell it almost every time I'm here to jail. Because this story has a lot of wisdom in it. I want you, if you heard anything, here's the thing to leave with. It's a missionary about back in the olden days when everybody rode horses. And this old missionary, he'd take his old tattered Bible that's about wore out. He'd saddle up and he'd go out west to the Indian villages. He's out there telling the Indians about Jesus Christ, how He died on the cross for their sins. And one day, an old Indian chief asked Jesus Christ into his heart to be his Lord and his Savior. His sins are forgiven. What a blessed time. And that missionary, he went on to other villages. And he came back about 3 months later. He seen that old Indian chief sitting there. He walked up to him and he asked him this question. How is it to be a Christian now? And the old Indian chief says, it's super. It's great. My sins are forgiven. I know if I die today, I'd be in heaven. And I have that peace that passes all understanding, even through the trials and tribulations, daily living. I know someday I'm going to be in heaven. And there will be no more pain, sorrow, sickness, tears, any of that. It's great. But he says there's one problem in my daily life. He said there's two cats inside of me. And they fight. From the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed. And the missionary says, what in the world are you talking about? And the old engine chief says, well, there's two cats. One represents the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living in me. And the other cat represents my flesh. And it wants to do the same old things it used to do. And they fight from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. And the missionary says, well, what cat usually wins? The old Indian chief says, the one I feed the most wins. A lot of wisdom in that. The one I feed the most wins. If you're feeding the flesh most of the time, that's what's going to control your life. That's going to be the strongest cat. It's going to want to do its thing. But if you're feeding the Spirit, if you're reading your Bible, if you're pumping up spiritually, that's the strong cat. Pump up spiritually. Starve that fleshly cat down to nothing. But you are going to have that fleshly cat till we get our new glorified bodies. As long as we're in this old fleshly shell, we got to keep it under control. There's so many times I've been here and guys ask me, they say, man, they say, I've been in and out of here a zillion times. And every time when I start to go out the next time, I say, I'm never coming back. And I'm serious. I'm not coming back. But I end up coming back. So what can I do? What can I do? And that's why I tell them that story. The way you'll stay out of here is feeding the spiritual cat. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against just flesh and blood. It's against the spirit and the flesh. Evil and good. Satan and Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you know how many cats you got in your life inside of you? You have one cat. That's the flesh. Nothing to fight back the flesh. And it's a heaven or hell battle. Satan's fighting for your soul every day. He dangles all these baits and candies in front of us. Come and get it. And the flesh is just biting it to bit all the time. Where are you tonight? You have two cats or one cat? If you only have one cat, I have some verses of scripture for you here tonight. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 14:6. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 10:9. Jesus Christ says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Revelation 3:20. Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in to him. It's a promise from the Lord, and it's written in the Word of God. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You want true rest, true peace? Come to Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's things that man thinks he can do to get to heaven, but the ways there are the ways of death. Now here's one of the most important verses for me, and it should be for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." How much of it? All things are become new. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're a new person in Christ. All the sins are forgiven. How would you like to have all the load of sin off and out, and forgotten, thrown away, never coming back? "And all things are become new." If you don't know Christ tonight could be the night to have all things new, a new life in Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 20, verse 24, verse 5. Joshua says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to have an altar call here tonight. We're going to play some background music. And if the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart to get right, commit your life to Christ, come forward. It takes more of a man to stand for Christ than it does to sit in that chair. I was here one evening. A guy come up forward, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. He said it was rough coming up, that struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Holy Spirit's working on him. He says, "It's rough coming up." And I'm getting ready to come up, and the guy next to me grabbed me and says, "Sit down." But he come up anyways. Satan had his last little tug, didn't he? Didn't do any good. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, it says, Jesus says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven." We're not playing church tonight. It's time to take a bold stand for Jesus Christ. If you've been straddled on the fence, jump off that fence and jump on the winning side. It's time to get right. Going to play this song. If the Lord's tugging, come forward. I have these booklets, "Knowing God Personally." I'll pray with you. And you'll leave here tonight knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." No doubt. If you're doubting tonight whether you're saved or not, chances are you aren't saved, because you can know for sure, without a doubt. Are you on the winning side or are you a loser? If you're on Christ's side, it's a winning side. If you're not, you're on Satan's side. And he's got you blindfolded, tripped up, and fooled. Take a stand for Christ as a music stand.
That's the rain, my
Anybody else out there? Is the Lord tugging? It's time to do business.
Amen. I want to thank God for the young lady that stood and gave her life to God tonight. Amen. Thank God for you. God bless you. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the message that we heard about our resolutions and how we need to, in this coming year, to try to live more for Christ. Amen. To give more of our life to Him. And when I was up, I didn't acknowledge Tracy back there, Brother Tracy Roddy. Some of you probably know our Brother Tracy, and we're just glad to have him here tonight also. Amen. Amen. And we got Brother John Ryan. Amen. Brother Johnny, he ministers in B Block, and we thank God for having him here. Amen. And I thank God for Brother Gary and Brother Leroy. And as I was listening to him bring the message and he was giving the altar call, he just reminded me of so many things. The love of God, for one thing. How God is just, He is love. God is love. He showed His love while we were still in our sin. He died. He sent His Son to die. While we were sinners. And He says all we need to do is just accept what he's already provided for our salvation. All we need to do is just accept it. And as he was talking, I can't remember exact words that he used, but he reminded me that God is looking for some sinners to save.